previously on the Skip and Josh Sports Show.
It's overreaction theater. You know, the day after a loss, it's like, let's analyze all the minutiae of the game and figure out why we lost. You know? Whereas the real reason why you lost is because hockey in the playoffs is a game about weird bounces. You know? Playoff hockey is not very good, if you ask me. It's complete, no penalties are called. It's free for all in terms of the physical play. The refs don't call anything. It's incredibly difficult to score. And what makes playoff hockey good is the drama of it, not the gameplay, you know, not the caliber of the game.
The Skip and Josh Sports Show is on now.
Skippy.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. We weren't supposed to record tonight, but so much has happened in the NHL playoffs so far.
Right.
And I it feels to me like the playoffs started a month ago, even though it's been less than a week. And I felt like we have to record tonight because there's so much to talk about. And if we wait until Saturday, everything's going to be old news already. So that's why I decided to call you.
You know, we're only two or three games in, depending on who you're following, into the playoffs. And I feel like the emotional investment is already so huge. I don't know what my physical and mental health will be, you know, if the Habs like go far, or, you know, if you're a Leafs fan, like, I don't know how you could stand like this series that they're doing where every game probably is going to be in overtime. People are going to be going crazy.
People in Montreal and Toronto are going to have to take some personal days, I think, is what's going to have to happen.
I think you're right. I mean, you know, so just to give the listeners a little bit of background, you know, our typical schedule has been, you know, just a little bit behind the scenes, but, you know, usually we record on Saturday morning and then we post the episode that day, and we try to stick to, you know, once a week, but sometimes we've been doing twice a week depending on, you know, what's going on in the world or if we have a special guest. But I mean, we just recorded a few days ago, and then as the Habs game was finishing, you were like, okay, you want to record now? I'm like, hey, let's go for it. You know, we have so much to say. I'm sure we can fill an episode just by our random musings, you know, random stuff. We could fill up an hour sometimes. So,
well, before we get to the Habs game specifically, yeah, it's just, I want to point out a few things that I'm sure anyone who's been watching the playoffs has noticed. There's been so many overtime games, first of all. So like, anytime a game goes into overtime, even if you're not really invested in the game, mm-hmm, it's nerve-wracking, it's emotional, you know. And the other thing that was interesting was all the Canadian teams lost game one of their respective series, and all of them except for Calgary won game two of their respective series. And Calgary, the way they lost game two, was so unlucky, they could have won.
Yeah, easily. You know what's, I'm glad you mentioned the overtimes, because you know how as the playoffs go longer and longer, you know, CBC, or in this case, I guess it's Rogers, you know, they like to have this thing called overtime magic that they show the montage of all the overtime winning goals from that year's playoffs. You know, every time a game's about to go into overtime. Well, we're only on like the third game of the series is, and they've got tons of footage already. There's overtime goals galore, you know, to fill up a whole segment of overtime magic. You know, you figure, oh, they'd only have one or two goals to show you. They've got tons.
And if it continues at this pace and they keep showing overtime magic, you're going to need like a half hour to see all the overtime goals by the time we get to the finals.
That's so true.
By the way, it's interesting. You said montage, and yeah, I also say montage. But when I say montage in Toronto, people make fun of me and they say, it's not montage, it's montage.
Oh, it's a montage.
So like, I say it the French way and you say it the French way. But of course, people in Ontario say it the English way, and they think it's interesting that I say it the French way. They don't understand it. But you do the same as I do.
We had the same schooling, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, where do you want to start? I mean, the Habs game just ended. They went up 3-1 and they won the game 3-1, and now they've gone up 2-1 in the series. And
so, first of all, the Habs team from game one was completely different than the Habs team from game two and three.
Right.
That's the first thing I'm going to say about that.
I agree.
In game one, as I was watching the game, I was thinking, you know, I don't really have much faith in this team. They might beat the Rangers, maybe. But even still, I don't think they're going to go that far because they just don't have enough firepower to do any damage.
Right. And I think we're in agreement on when that changed. It was in the third period of game two when they played like a house on fire. They played with unbelievable desperation.
In the third period of game two, they had more scoring opportunities than they did in February.
So true. That's a great line. I mean, so, they played with so much desperation. And my son said to me today, he's like, you know, the way the Habs played in the third period in the overtime, he goes, I've never seen a Montreal Canadiens team play with so much intensity. He goes, I don't know how they'd be able to match that and keep it going. You know,
the thing is, you need to do that in the playoffs because every team raises the level of their play in the playoffs. Yeah. Every team does that.
Yeah.
And so if the Canadiens had just continued on their merry way, the way they've been doing for the last couple of months.
Yeah.
Then they would have been maybe out in four straight. Who knows?
You know, the announcers were saying how there's a whole bunch of players and a lot of them on the Canadiens that were playing their first ever NHL playoff game. And I was like, oh, big deal, you know. But I think after seeing the difference between game one and game two, I was thinking, you know, maybe there is something to that because, you know, guys like Dano, Lekkonen, Byron, you know, important players for the Canadiens, right?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't experienced the playoffs yet. They need maybe a little bit of time to adjust to the intensity and the speed and the physicality of the game, right?
Well, I hope by now they've adjusted because it's three games in now and Lekkonen scored tonight, so...
Right. I mean, I love Lekkonen. I think he's a keeper.
I like him too.
Yeah. And
have enough guys on the roster now with Andrew Shaw, who I'm not a big fan of, and King, who they got from the Kings.
Yeah.
And a few other players who have playoff experience.
Yeah.
So they have enough guys in the lineup that have played in the playoffs.
Yeah. I like the moves that the coach made tonight, putting in Mitchell. I mean, I think Mitchell's a smart player. He gives them more on the fourth line than a guy like Martinson. And I mean, I hope I don't have to see Nesterov play again. But I mean, chances are we will. But with injuries and whatnot. So I'm happy that Davidson was back in. He really stabilized the third pair. So
you know, I did like that Torrey Mitchell was in the game. And I have no problem with Davidson. But you haven't liked Nesterov since the day they got him.
No, he's garbage.
And you know what? That play where the reason he was a healthy scratch tonight.
Oh, I mean, Beaulieu made the bad play, and they're like, "Well, Nesterov didn't help protect him." But I mean, Beaulieu made the bad play. Sorry, I don't trust him on the ice, and I'm a fan watching on TV. So if I don't trust him, I mean, I could only imagine how the coaches feel. You know, so.
Well, if Emelin ever comes back, then we won't have this conversation.
No, that's it. I mean, Emelin should come back. But, I mean, if the Habs go as far in the playoffs as I want them to, you know, chances are, you know, other injuries could happen. So
you're burying the lead because if you go back to one of our first episodes way back, you said to me that Radulov is built for the playoffs.
I did. I mean,
and today you look like a genius.
I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, it's true. On one of our earlier episodes, it was only 2 weeks into the season approximately, I told you this is a great signing. He looks awesome. And I did tell you that, you know, he's built for the playoffs.
And I took more of a wait and see approach because I didn't want to anoint him just yet.
That's because I watch all the games and you don't watch all the games. You didn't have the same look as I did. And you were like, the jury's still out. And look, he didn't have a great, great season. He had 50-something points, whatever. He didn't set the league on fire. But, I mean, certainly he was a great free agent signing. And, I mean, this guy is such a combination of power and talent. And also his passion for the game, it's infectious. You know, he's so passionate about hockey, so intense on the ice. He just, you can tell he loves to play, right? He loves to play hockey. And that goal he scored tonight with three guys on his back, it seemed, you know.
That was hilarious. I mean, the fact that he had someone draped all over him and he only had one hand on his stick and he still managed to score was incredible.
Yeah, he scored like, you know, the Peter Forsberg goal there.
Against Corey Hirsch.
But he scored it with a guy on his back.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean.
And then the pass that he made to Galchenyuk on the power play, when I first saw it in real time, I'm like, how did the puck get there? Because it didn't make any sense from where he was standing and the angle of his stick that the puck went to Galchenyuk.
Yeah.
Then they showed it from a different angle. I'm like, that's an incredible pass.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he actually intended to do that.
After watching Radulov for a month this year, I realized like when you're on his line, you have to be ready for a pass at all moments because this guy will find you from any kind of weird angle, passes that are not expected. And he doesn't have a major curve on his stick, I don't think. So his backhand is lethal. And because he has such a strong backhand, passes are able to come from unexpected places. I mean, aside the fact that he has great vision, he's able to physically do the passes, you know, because his backhand is so strong. So,
well, I witnessed that tonight. And then there was another play when the, you know, there was less than 3 minutes left in the game and the Canadiens were just trying to kill the clock and Radulov was on the ice.
Man, he dove.
He dove just to clear the puck out of the zone.
Pretty crazy that they pulled a goalie with like 4 minutes left. It was
I couldn't believe that. I mean, it wasn't such a bad idea in hindsight because they just couldn't score, so they needed to do something.
I mean, how often is there no empty net goal scored? I mean, most of the time an empty net goal gets scored, right?
Yeah. Like,
and they had 4 minutes to do it and they couldn't. So it was kind of strange.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, I hope the Habs can, they played a great road game tonight, just like the Rangers played in game one in our building. They shut the Rangers down tonight. Carey Price had a pretty easy night. I mean, it's too bad he didn't get the shutout. But they really didn't have the Rangers didn't look dangerous at all. I never felt that they were going to score. I never felt like, oh my God, the Rangers are going to score. You know, like I never felt they had pressure. I never felt there was big scoring chances. And the Canadiens got their power play going miraculously and scored a couple of goals.
Yeah, here's what I wanted to mention. You mentioned the power play. So they scored two power play goals. The first one, so obviously it was a set play where Gallagher was behind the goal line and passed it out to Lehkonen in the slot and he one-timed it and scored.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I've watched all the playoff games of all the other teams, all the other series, and I've seen that exact goal scored by so many other teams. And I've been asking myself, why don't the Canadiens ever do that play? And finally they did it and it worked.
Beautiful. Yeah, it was great. And then on the French network, you know, they kind of showed that they were practicing those plays at practice and whatever. But it's good that they, one of the guys on the radio here was saying, you know, the Canadiens have the 13th ranked power play in the league, which is pretty astounding because it doesn't feel like it's such a 13th ranked power play. It feels more like a 25th ranked power play like we've had for the past few years.
Yeah.
And it's hard to imagine that there's 17 worse power plays, right, than this.
True. Like, however, there are only 16 teams in the playoffs, so there might only be three teams that have a worse power play that are still alive.
That's true, actually. I didn't think of it that way. But, I mean, tonight is perfectly illustrating that weird sense of the power play because they scored two, right? And
yeah, and that was the difference.
Yeah, and I mean, I've told you this before, but, like, their biggest problem is setting up and gaining the zone, like a lot of teams. And it's compounded by the fact that they can't win a face-off. So, you know, when every face-off starts in the offensive zone, if you have a good face-off man like a Sidney Crosby or Jonathan Toews or, you know, just for examples, you know, you're starting off at such an advantage because if you win that first face-off, you set up right away. But the Habs lose those face-offs. The puck goes thrown down the ice. And then they can't set up for 2 minutes. So that's mostly what happens.
I think, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, the Canadiens' best faceoff guy is Plekanec, right?
Well, I mean, I'm glad you brought this up because there's this idea that Plekanec is a good faceoff guy. You know, he's under 50% for his career. He's like a 48-49% for his whole career, which is a long career. And he's around the same this year. I mean, I don't even have to look it up. I could tell you he's, you know, 49, maybe he's 50%. I don't know. But he's having success in this series, right? He's winning a lot of faceoffs in this series. So that's positive. I mean, but yeah, I mean, they don't have any good faceoff men. Their good faceoff men are Mitchell and Ott, who are not going to be out there on the power play, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Galchenyuk was like sub 40 for most of the year. I don't know if he got back over 40%. And I don't know who else. I mean, they were using Shaw at center. And
I was going to say, the fact that they were using Shaw on the power play was a little bit ridiculous.
Well, I mean, I think the coach came to his senses and put Galchenyuk on because, like I said, like I said in our last episode, watering down the lines when you just need to score a couple of goals doesn't work, right? That's not helping. You need to, and when you're on the power play, what's the point of watering down your power play? Throw out your three best guys, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, thank God it took only like a game and a half for them to realize that they need Galchenyuk in offensive situations. I mean,
by the way, I just looked it up, and Plekanec had a 51.2 face-off winning percentage in the regular season.
That's 51.2, so that's probably one of our best guys, you know?
Torrey Mitchell was 54.5, and Andrew Shaw was 54.6.
Yeah. I mean, and Plekanec usually takes the most face-offs every year and probably did again this year. So, like, the volume of face-offs is huge, right? Mm-hmm. So 51% is great, you know, so... So how are things in Toronto with the Leafs? Everyone's going nuts. I mean, if I was a Leafs fan, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Have a heart attack.
Oh,
if you
my
were
God. As much as I'm emotionally invested in these Habs games, I mean, yeah, there was an overtime game tonight. I mean, I felt like it was a vacation because the game was like...
Decided with like five minutes left.
When they went up 2-0, I'm like, okay, I could relax. You know?
When they were up 2-0, I said, if they score one more, this game's over.
Yeah. But I mean, so in Toronto with the Leafs, I mean,
I watched the Leafs game with Joe.
Joe
and Carly and a few other people.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joe is a Leafs fan, even though he works for the Sabres and the Bills.
Yeah.
So he was freaking out during the overtime, of course. And I'm just sitting there relaxing. And so he was like sort of saying to me the night before he was watching the Canadiens game that went into overtime. And he was very relaxed because he didn't really care about the outcome. Like, he would prefer if a Canadian team won, but he wasn't sitting on the edge of his seat. But during the Leaf game, of course he was. And so when the Leafs finally scored, he was very excited.
Right.
The Leafs have been playing well, actually. I mean, even in the game that they lost, they could have won that game. So they could be up 2-0 in the series. They're not, whatever. These games, there's so the margin of difference between the teams is so slim. There's a lot of overtime games, and even the games that don't go into overtime are decided by one or two goals. And it doesn't matter if you know, like the Leafs finished, I think, 23 points behind the Capitals in the regular season, but that means absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was exciting here because, well, you know, there's a lot going on in Toronto. So yesterday in Jurassic Park, where they show the Raptors and the Leaf games on the big screen outside, they were showing both the games, and there was, I think, a bit of an overlap where the Raptors game hadn't ended yet and the Leafs game had started. So they were showing like a split screen. They were showing both games. And of course, you know, when they finally, it was a nice night in Toronto as well. So there were people outside and the weather was great. And they showed the crowd after the Leafs had scored in overtime. And of course, everyone went ballistic.
Right.
No question that was going to happen. So it is exciting. The one interesting thing is, or the one not so exciting thing is, that the Jays that everyone had so many hopes for are like 2-9 or 2-10. And everyone's talking about how they might just trade everybody and, you know, rebuild for the future, because they really have a very thin farm system. And so they want to try and get some young bodies.
Well, I mean, I guess they'll wait till the trade deadline. And if they're out of it, they're out of it, right? I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they have nothing to lose by waiting.
It's going to suck for Jays fans because, I mean, I know there was so much high hopes coming into the season, right?
For sure. And I guess the loss of the hitting, it's just the hitting that's their last, I think, in pretty much every offensive category. The pitching's been okay. But then today, Jay Happ had to leave the start in the middle of the game because he got injured. And I think that...
Aaron Sanchez has a blister.
Aaron Sanchez is on the DL, the 10-game DL, which I didn't even know there was a 10-game DL.
Yeah, that's new this year.
It's new this year. So now the pitching, which was actually the good part of the team, that's starting to fall apart as well.
Right.
So
I mean, imagine if the Leafs like make it like into like the second round, the third round, and the Raptors are done. Raptors lose to Milwaukee. And the Jays are in last place in the AL East, 15 games behind the leader, you know, in like by the end of May.
what's
going to happen in Toronto? The Leafs are going to just take over.
Well, let me tell you something. If the Leafs go far,
yeah,
and the Raptors are still going far, and the Jays are in first place, it's still a Leafs town. It doesn't matter. Like, all that other stuff will be great.
Right.
But it's still good. Even if all the other teams are doing well, it's still a Leafs town. Doesn't so if they're matter. The only team that's doing well, then
right.
definitely everyone's going to be riding the bandwagon. There's
right.
no question.
Right. That's cool.
But yeah, it is an exciting time to be in the city for sure.
Oh my God. It must be amazing. And I mean, look, I don't know. The other series, like we were saying, everything's going to go 7 games, but I mean, certainly, you know, St. Louis is going to wrap that series up. And
so I was way off on the Blues series because I thought that would go 7 games.
I mean, the Ducks, like you said, the Ducks got lucky, but they're still up 2-0.
Right. I was way off on the Hawks. I thought they'd win easily, and they're down 2-0 now.
You can't count out the Hawks, but...
No, no. I mean, I don't think they're going to get swept.
But, because... I mean, they lost both games at home, right? I mean...
Yeah, but I mean, stranger things have happened. You've seen teams lose the first two at home.
Yeah, and then win the next two. And then you've
seen win the next four even.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, who knows? Now, it was interesting. I wanted to point something out to you because there's five Canadian teams in the playoffs, as you know, and I don't know when the last time that happened, if that ever happened. So while CBC and Rogers are thrilled that they get all these Canadian teams, they have a bit of a dilemma because they have to find a broadcasting crew for each series.
Right.
And so I'm sitting there. This was after a few teams had already played game one. So I knew that Jim Hughson was doing the Leafs series, and I knew that Paul Romanek was doing the Canadian series, and I knew that Bob Cole was doing the Senators and Dave Randorf was doing the Oilers. So I'm wondering who's doing the Flames series, because I can't even think of a fifth crew that they have.
Right.
So finally I had to wait till there was a Flames game to see for myself. So it turns out it's Rick Ball doing play-by-play.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, and John Garrett's doing the color commentary.
Is he a former goalie?
Yes, he's the former goalie of the Vancouver Canucks when they had those awful sweaters.
Oh my God.
he's that guy.
Yeah. Wow. So I mean, I guess they'll be happy that they won't have five teams. I mean, they could have five teams all advancing, but some will play each other. So,
right, so they won't have as many series to do.
Right. So speaking of the broadcasts, like, do you watch? I mean, do you watch in English or in French? Can you watch in French?
I'm so glad you brought this up. And yes, I can watch in French because the games are not on RDS in the playoffs. They're all on TVA.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad you mentioned this because for game one, I had switched to the French channel midway through the game because I just didn't like Paul Romanek or Gary Galli for that matter.
He's okay, Paul Romanek, but Gary Galli, he's got to go.
I mean, so then in game two, I actually watched in English and the Canadians won. So I figured, okay, well, then since I watched in English, I'll watch in English for game three. But then halfway through tonight's game, it was 0-0 and the Canadians were about to go on the power play. So I switched to watching.
Oh my God.
And the Canadians scored.
We did the same thing in our house. Oh my God.
It's interesting because I don't think people in the rest of the country understand this whole French English thing.
No.
Because most people just have one option and they don't like, what do you mean watch in English or French? They don't have a choice. They have to watch where it is.
Well, the French broadcast, if you're a Habs fan, is superior because it's like, it's one-sided, right? I mean, it's their homers. Right. So, and they know more about the team than the English guys who follow the team, right? So
yeah, these guys are with the team day in, day out for the entire season. Yeah.
So I started game two in French and I stuck with it. But then when we really needed a goal, in the third period, 10 minutes to go around, I said, I'm going to switch to English. So we switched to English and then we scored in overtime and then they scored again. They scored to tie it and then they scored again in overtime. So today for game three, I started in English.
Right.
And the game was going along, but it was still like no score. Right. So I didn't want to change anything. And then Habs were going on the power play. And I turned to my son. I'm like, I'm going to switch to French for the power play. And he looked at me like I was on another planet. Like, of course you're switching to French on the power play. Like, why am I even asking him? It's like, it's a no-brainer, you know? Like, he's like, what do you mean? Of course, switch it. You know, like, it's like the most obvious question in the world. So then they scored on the power play, and then we kept it in French the rest of the game. So game four, I will be starting in French, and we'll go from there.
Speaking of changing the channel, I know you're a Celtics fan, and the Celtics game was on at the same time as the Canadiens game. So what did you do?
Well, I was switching, you know, during the intermission, I had it on, and I was trying to switch a little bit in the commercials. But, I mean, I'm not invested in this Celtics team so much, and it's game one. And so, you know,
did the Celtics win or lose?
No, they lost. They lost by four. They mounted a little comeback at the end, but... I mean, you know, they can't really score. They only have one guy that can score. I mean, I'm sure you heard about Isaiah Thomas's sister.
I did, yeah.
So it was pretty emotional, like the scenes that they were showing on TV before the game started. But we'll see where it goes. I mean, look, the NBA playoffs are, it's the opposite of the NHL playoffs. The NHL playoffs, often the first round is the best or tends to be really exciting, the first round of the NHL playoffs. And in the NBA, the first round's garbage. I mean,
yeah, the NBA, it doesn't really start. The NBA,
the conference finals and the finals are good. You know, that's worth watching.
Although in game one of the NBA, there's already been a few upsets, if I'm putting that in quotations. I mean,
the Raptors, you know, so.
The Raptors lost and the Celtics lost. And I think, didn't the Jazz win their first game?
Yeah, minor upset.
So.
But, yeah, and then now, I don't know what's happening now, but the game's underway between, you know, James Harden versus Westbrook. So, I mean, that's an interesting series to watch just because of the matchup, but whatever.
Right.
I won't really get too invested in the NBA playoffs until it gets further along, you know, so.
By the way, this has nothing to do with anything, mm-hmm. but I wanted to mention, I've been meaning to mention this to you for a while. I was at a friend's house watching March Madness about a month or two ago, or whenever March was.
Yeah.
And he said to me that, because we were watching a bit of it on TSN, and, you know, they had Jack Armstrong and Sam Mitchell.
Yeah.
So he said to me that I sound like Jack Armstrong.
I don't believe that.
I mean, I don't know what I sound like, so I don't know if it's true or not, but he said I sound like Jack Armstrong.
Well, you don't sound like a 70-year-old man, so I don't know where that's coming from, but maybe.
He also said I look like Pau Gasol.
That I do see. When you had your long, scruffy hair and unshaven look, there was a certain Pau Gasol aspect. And actually, I work with a guy who looks just like Marc Gasol, so maybe I should introduce you.
Maybe he's my long-lost brother.
Maybe, yeah. All right. So, I mean, you never know when the next episode's going to pop up. We decided to do this one just, you know, kind of, you know.
Yeah, the listeners have to be on their toes.
Yeah.
You never know when a new episode's going
to
drop.
Yeah, we just decided let's record this because we had a lot to say about, you know, what happened in the first few games of the playoffs. But, you know, we'll try to keep these pop-up episodes coming as the NHL playoffs progress because they're so exciting, the games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
All right, so I'll speak to you soon.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
The Skip and Josh Sports Show is over now. Don't worry, there'll be another episode soon.